Question 60. Whose image is this, and whose name is written here? Luke 20:22-25. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no? But he perceived their craftiness, and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. Many who read this passage are apt to apply it to taxes, money, and such. It's been used to alleviate guilt for not paying taxes, or perhaps to dampen one's pride of being a faithful taxpayer. Both are topics worthy of interesting discussions. However, rendering unto Caesar is only half of Christ's commandment. The other, more neglected part, is giving to God the things that be God's. Which should lead one to ask, what are the things that are God's? Tithes, offerings, and sacrifices have traditionally been a part of man's worship from the beginning. Not only did God accept an offering from Abel at the beginning of the world, but accepted tithe and offerings throughout the days of Abraham. And later he commanded the tithe in the written law, in the days of Moses. More so, it is the heart of man that commands him to give to that which he loves. He can't help but to make and send gifts to his friends, his lovers, his God. What kind of offering does our God anticipate from us? We must admit, we can add nothing to God, who created all things. For at one time, all was his. Any gift for him would be anticlimactic, for he possesses all. Likewise, Rome in the days of Christ seemed to own all. Roman oversight and presence was felt and seen everywhere. They could take by force anything they wanted. But to avoid insurrection and mutiny, they would extract a tax or tribute to Caesar. These taxes would amount to as much as they could feasibly extract without revolt. The government under which money is issued has always determined its value. Both in denomination and true value, the realm of the coin has always proven to be more important in determining value than the coin of the realm. This system has proven to be best, for when people and trends determine value, emotion and greed may cause inflation or recession to wildly occur, destabilizing trade and market values. When money is used and its value manipulated to satisfy the avarice of the few in whose hands this power has been placed, it eventually becomes worthless and must be replaced. Caesar put his image and name on each coin to denominate and identify the coin as to which kingdom it belonged, and to assure its value. This would give the seller and purchaser confidence in the value of the funds used. The kingdom of God has a currency as well, a coin of great value. The value of this coin is determined by the king and is never subjected to private evaluation by anyone. Though we have arbitrarily valued and devalued it from time to time, its true worth has remained constant. It still brings joy and pleasure to God when this coin is given an offering, and anyone wishing to offer it must discover it, possess it, and then give it in tribute. In Matthew 13:46, Jesus told a story about a man finding such a thing of great value, a pearl of great price, it was called. He went and sold all that he had and bought it. If we could discover such a valuable coin of the kingdom of God, it would be worth everything we presently own to possess it, for it's the only genuine tribute we may truly offer as a gift to the kingdom, with which our Father would be pleased. Jesus also told of a field, Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. When we find and identify the gift that God wants from us, the only gift that will bring pleasure to God, we will have found an object of great price, an irreplaceable and rare gift to bestow upon the Creator of all things. We will be able for the first time to give Him what He will not take for Himself, though He possesses all things. The men in the parables who found the treasure and the pearl were able to find what others missed. They were able to identify what no one else could. How can we be sure not to walk over the gift like everyone else did for all those years as it lay just beneath the soil? How will we find and identify the only gift of tribute that God desires? When Jesus says to render to God the things that are God's, we must first find the things that are God's. Jesus identified Caesar's property. He asked, "Whose image and superscription hath it?" It therefore became obvious who owned and controlled it by the image and superscription that it bore upon it. The coin had a profile image of Caesar, and his name was boldly inscribed around its perimeter to make its owner and evaluator unequivocal. It was unmistakably the property of Caesar. When we look into the scriptures, we may find some clues like these to identify the property of God. In Genesis 1:26-27, we can see the image of God was impressed upon the form of man himself. The creation story tells us that we have his image. Okay, where will we find his superscription? The promise of Revelation 3:12 states, "Him that overcometh, I will write upon him the name of my God." From beginning to end, the Bible declares us to be the property of God, minted, if you will, by his hands, coined in his mind, and valued by his love and guaranteed by his grace. We are his most valued possession. He spoke of his own heart of compassion when, in the story in Luke 15, he told of the woman who had 10 pieces of silver. He asked, "If she lose one piece, doth she not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." Then, to make the parable unmistakable, he adds, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Your service to him, your overcoming the world, your relinquishment of self-control inscribes his name upon you, making him alone the determiner of your value. Your tribute to him can be no less than to render unto God the things that are God's. You are God's own creation, and he demands no less than you and your service as the only reasonable tribute. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look in the mirror and consider what you owe to God. Look at your life and service and ask, whose image is this? And whose name is written here?